I've heard there's just needs.
Yes, we do.
Yeah, Director Sheldon.
Very good. Okay, good afternoon, everybody. I would like to call the regular meeting of the Board of Directors of the Orange County Water District order. Let's do the Pledge of Allegiance. Please rise.
Oh my God.
Mayor Director Jung, now lead us.
You'll follow me. Ready to begin. I pledge
allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, liberty, and justice for all.
Thank you so much. Clerk, can you do the roll call, please?
Roll call, Director Amezcua. Director Bilodeau. Director Green.
Here.
Director Jung. Director Meek. Director Nguyen. Director Sheldon.
Here.
Director Tran.
Here.
Director Wigand.
Here.
Director Yeo.
Here.
Okay, you do have a quorum with six directors present.
Very good. Thank you so much. Are there any items received too late to be agendized today?
There are none.
Moving on to visitor participation. Are there anyone on, either on Zoom or in the room who would wish to speak to the board? Seeing none, moving on to public hearing. Item number one, approval of increase in director's compensation. So what's your poison? First of all, anybody who would like to speak on this issue first?
Yeah, I can give a...
Yeah, you need to open the public hearing.
Yes,
okay.
We did.
Yeah, okay. I can give a quick summary.
Please do.
Okay. So the board scheduled this back at the May 7th meeting, and it's to increase director's compensation by 5%. Wanted to mention California Water Code Section 20200 allows water districts, including the water district, to enact ordinances to increase the amount of compensation that may be received by members of the board for each day of attendance at meetings of the board and for each day of service rendered as a member of and by the request of the board by an amount not to exceed 5% for each calendar year following the operative date of the last adjustment of compensation for up to 10 days in any calendar month. That was a mouthful. And then the last adjustment of director compensation occurred back on in August of 2023.
Director Tran, just to be clear, you did open the public hearing, right? That's what I understood.
I did, yes.
And I did want to mention, because we only have six board members, staff would recommend that we open the public hearing as you did, but that we continue the public hearing to June 18th, when we would expect to have 10 board members at that meeting. But that would take, the board would need to vote to do that, to continue the public hearing to June.
But it would only take six votes, right?
Yes, well, to continue.
Not vote.
Sorry.
Why not just go ahead and vote? There are six of us.
The board could do that.
Could do if you want.
Yeah.
Yeah, but let's move on. Anything else?
That completes the staff report.
Very good. Public testimonies. Anyone who would want to speak on this issue? Increase, decrease? Okay. I'll close the public hearing and open up for the board discussion.
I think we have a couple other members that might have jumped online too. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, Directors Amezcua and Nguyen are online now.
Right.
Okay, so we have 8 of 10. That...
Yes.
Okay. Anyone, board members, would like to comment or?
I will. This takes us to number 2 in pay in our area. I don't see any reason for that. We've always stayed pretty much in the middle. I don't see any reason to change it. There's no, and we just changed it. No.
You mean increase?
We've had an increase, yes.
2023.
Yeah.
August, so 2 years on August.
Yeah, at our last vote, we increased it.
Anyone online who wants to speak?
Is that, director, is that a motion to stay as is?
Yes.
Okay, I'll second that.
Okay. We have a motion and a second. Any comments or questions regarding this matter? Seeing none, I will call for the vote at this time.
Okay.
Roll call, Director Mezqua. Director Mezqua? Director Green?
Yes.
Director Jung?
Hey.
Director Nguyen?
Yes.
Director Sheldon?
No.
Director Tran?
Yes.
Director Wigand?
Yes.
Director Yeo?
Yes.
Okay, that motion carries with 6 yes votes, with Director Sheldon voting no, and Directors Philodeau and Meeks.
Both of that is no.
I apologize. Go ahead.
She wants to vote. You can.
Director Mezqua?
So I apologize. My phone was not working right. So can I ask a question before I vote, please? Is that not possible, or do we close that already?
You can. Yeah. Sure. You want to read it back, Christina, or you want me to summarize? I'll just summarize that the motion was to keep the current director compensation the same as it is now.
And the request is 4% or 3%?
It's 5%.
And what will that take us to, Jeremy?
Well, that's not the motion, you know.
Oh, okay. So I'm going to abstain. Thank you.
Okay. With Director Mezqua abstaining.
Okay. So what's the...
passes and there is no...
No increase. Correct. All right. Very good. Thank you so much. Moving on to the consent calendar. We have 2 items on the consent calendar.
No move.
I have a motion to move.
I'll second.
I have a second. Okay. Please call for the vote.
Roll call, Director Mezqua?
Yes.
Director Green?
Yes.
Director Jung?
Aye.
Director Nguyen?
I have a question. Are we voting again?
This is for the consent calendar?
Oh, the consent calendar. Okay, because there was a question before, and I was kind of confused about that. Okay, yes, please.
Director Sheldon?
Yes.
Director Tran?
Yes.
Director Wigand?
Yes.
Director Yeo?
Yes.
Okay, that motion carries with 8 yes votes, with Directors Bilodeau and Meeks absent.
Okay, thank you so much. Moving on to item number 5. That is a matter for consideration.
611.
I'd like to open the meeting for public comments on this item. Any, not on Zoom, everything's clear? Okay.
No hands.
No comments. Any other questions or comments from the board? Is there a motion?
So moved. So moved.
Oh.
Second. Okay.
Whichever way.
But it wasn't okay. Either. We have a motion.
Hey,
and
guys,
a...
hang on.
Don't you have to have
okay.
it here?
Yeah, we do have a presentation.
Okay. Oh, you
yeah.
do.
Yeah.
I apologize. No, I have to.
Get up.
All right.
Go straight to the vote.
We read the presentation.
Right?
It's good.
All right. Okay. All right. We'll have you earn your
all right. keep tonight. Well, I can whip through it then. We don't have a ton of time on it. Got a lot of items.
Don't talk us out of it now.
A lot of items. We've got the program EIR for the South Basin. That program EIR is based upon the interim remedial action plan that we had prepared, which identified an alternative that we evaluated in the EIR.
as a final step in the NCP process, we need to prepare a record of decision that formalizes the identification of the remedial alternative for the South Basin. That's going to require an authorized signature, and we're recommending that be the general manager. Once you have gone through those, we're going to ask for an initial capital budget establishment for the South Basin project, and then we're going to ask for authorization to prepare requests for proposals so that we can go out and prepare a work plan to do a preliminary design investigation. Okay. Just a quick overview of the South Basin area. We're just showing here a map of the Orange County Water District service area, the water producers. And you can see the South Basin area is down there, kind of towards the south central part of our service area. What are we talking about? This map here that we're showing on this inset is a plume map, right? Where the lowest concentrations of the plume are in blue and the very highest concentrations are in the red. They're primarily volatile organic compounds and perchlorate. These were first detected in Irvine Ranch Water District well number 3. I don't know if this has a pointer, but it's I'm not going to press anything because I'm sure I'll. So in Irvine Ranch well number 3, which kind of kicked off a series of investigations.
No, the alarm didn't go off. It did?
Director Amesqua, you're unmuted.
Thank you.
A quick schematic of where the contamination exists within the aquifer. This schematic shows a generalized model of the aquifer within the South Basin area, the shallow aquifer system down to about 200 feet below ground surface, the principal aquifer system down to about 1,000 feet, and then the deep aquifer system down to about 1,500 feet. Through historical industrial and manufacturing operations, industrial solvents and other contaminants were spilled onto the ground surface. Those moved down vertically to the water table, which is very shallow in this area, 10 to 15 feet below ground surface. Those contaminants then spread within the water, commingled amongst all of the release sites, and formed this large kind of commingled 2 mile long by 1 mile wide plume of groundwater in the shallow aquifer system. That groundwater is moving in the direction of groundwater flow, which often impacts wells. And we're showing here IRWD3 that was impacted, even though it's screened only in the principal and deep aquifer systems. Physically, there was a way for those contaminants to get down into that well and then show up. And they continue to show up when we sample that well. Also shown on this schematic are some things that the district believes may be possible pathways for this contamination to go from the shallow aquifer system into the principal aquifer system. You can see in there in the middle where it's labeled abandoned well. There have been many, many wells out in this area that were improperly abandoned from back in the early 1900s. We don't know how they were abandoned, but if they still exist and they're still screened across these two aquifer systems, it provides a vertical pathway for them to move from the shallow to the principal aquifer system. And we believe that's one of the primary threats to groundwater in this area, especially our principal aquifer system, which is where our drinking water comes from. So, long history of investigative efforts. I think there's only a handful of directors that were around back then. I think Roger was, and Director Sheldon, and Director Bilodeau. So in 1998, the contaminants were detected in IRWD3. They then requested OCWD to investigate the contamination in 04. We started in 06, identified 55 plus source sites that could potentially have contributed to the contamination. And at that point, then the district institutes the South Basin Groundwater Protection Project program, kicks off a series of remedial investigations, and also initiates litigation with who we believe were the primary sources of the contamination. In 2009, we installed over 200 cone penetrometer tests. They're basically soil borings, installed six monitoring wells. The data from those investigations led to what we call the preliminary remedial investigation report. That report identified data gaps. So we went out and installed additional monitoring wells, secured some Prop 1 grant funding, And the data from that resulted in the supplemental remedial investigation report, which was completed in July of 2020. That provided us enough information for us to conduct a feasibility study, which evaluates potential remedial alternatives for the groundwater contamination that was completed in 23. We're here today to kind of culminate these 20 plus years of investigation. So the documents that led to the identification of the interim remedy, we prepared the feasibility study, evaluates a range of alternatives. The board in February 23 tentatively identified alternative 3 of the FS as the preferred alternative. We then prepared our interim remedial action plan and the program EIR. So what does the FS evaluate? NCP requires that we evaluate 9 criteria to identify a preferred alternative. So every tentative alternative that we've identified, they all go through the same evaluation using these same criteria. There's only 7 shown here because the last 2 criteria, public participation and regulatory acceptance, don't occur until the IRAP phase, which wasn't part of the feasibility study. So they include long-term protectiveness of health and human health and the environment, compliance with state and federal standards, long-term effectiveness and permanence, reduction of toxicity, mobility, volume, or volume through treatment, short-term effectiveness, implementability, and cost. Through that evaluation, we identified this alternative 3, which is groundwater extraction and treatment with discharge of that treated water to our sewer system, where it flows back to our GWRS system and then gets reused in our basin through our various GWRS waters. So what we're showing here with these black dot and kind of blue highlighted areas are where we've tentatively identified groundwater extraction alignments. Where we're looking at right here is roughly along the 55 freeway between the 405 and the 5 with the primary concentration of contaminants right about the 55 freeway and Warner Avenue. The hatched areas you see there, the hatched polygons, are who we are calling responsible parties, and those are the parties that we brought litigation against in OCWDV SABIC. The other darker highlighted areas are other release sites that were identified. However, we didn't bring litigation against those for various reasons. The blue outline areas around these black dotted patterns are the areas that were evaluated in our program EIR. Because we don't know exactly where we're going to be able to put wells and put pipeline alignments, we evaluated a 500-foot buffer around all of these alignments as potential areas that we can install facilities. And that is a safeguard that allows us some flexibility if, upon further investigation, we can't put them exactly in the streets or in a particular area. All right, so the program EIR. Why do we do a program EIR? Because we don't know all the details of the project. So those will be evaluated subsequent to our preliminary design investigation when we have a better idea of exactly where facilities will be. So that's why we prepared a program level EIR. And obviously, additional CEQA documentation is going to need to be prepared once we've identified specific project facility locations. Can you make it go one? Stop to working on me.
The laser pointer attempt.
Yeah. Maybe something, right? You can just hit enter or
move.
Can you get it to move?
Not me. I'll get
to you.
Bruce.
Can I go backwards for 700?
Oh, we do have a few.
You can.
Yeah, we have.
I don't.
Any more slides? Do you?
Here.
Perfect.
Right.
Yeah, right there. Okay, so quickly through the public participation portion of the EIR. We initiated in June 2023. We circulated the initial study in the notice of preparation in October of 2023 and received comments. In December of 2024, we released the program EIR for public review, a 45-day review period. That ended in January of 2025. We received five comment letters on that document, and we've prepared responses to those comments. Those responses to comments are included in the final EIR, which was released per CEQA requirements 10 days prior to, at least 10 days prior to the meeting today. So we're released May for review, and today we're here to consider them. So we evaluated 14 potential impacts. Those are identified here on the following slide. There we go. Aesthetics, air quality and greenhouse gas emissions, biological resources, cultural resources, energy, geology and soils, hazards and hazardous materials. You can see them all there. Of those potential impacts, we identified these 8 potentially significant environmental impacts for various reasons. Aesthetics, we had light and glare. Air quality, there's construction equipment emissions and such. All of these impacts are less than significant with mitigation. We also prepared an interim remedial action plan. This is an NCP required document. This document provides an opportunity for the public to review what we are proposing. It's in simplified terms, it's easily understandable, and it summarizes all of the alternatives evaluated that and the factors that led to the selection of the preferred alternative. It forms the basis for OCWD's selection, and it was circulated along with the remedial investigation and feasibility study. There was a 45-day public review period that ended on January 27th. We held a public meeting at Delhi Neighborhood Association, their facility, at the Delhi facility in Santa Ana on January 16th. We received one comment letter on the IRAP, and our responses to those comments are were prepared and are part of the record of decision. Okay, now we have a record of decision. This is the document that supports the selection of the preferred alternative or the preferred interim remedy. It certifies that the remedy selection process was carried out in accordance with NCP, summarizes the technical rationale and background information, provides information necessary for determining the conceptual engineering components, and outlines the remedial action objectives for the interim remedy. And it's a public communication tool that explains the contamination problem and what the remedy seeks to address and the rationale for the selection. It was submitted in accordance with NCP to the regional board and to DTSC on May 15th for their comment. We have not received any comments from them on this document. It includes our responses to comments on the IRAP, and it requires a general manager's signature. Okay, the budget, important stuff. We've established an initial estimated project budget. It's kind of two components to it. We have a preliminary design investigation phase. This is additional investigation. We're going to put in more soil boring. We're going to put in some test extraction wells. All of that data will be used to verify our assumptions or to reevaluate our assumptions made in the feasibility study portion of the document preparation. $4.3 million phase. And then we have estimated for the remedy construction phase $15.1 million for a total capital expenditure of $19.4 million. We have settlement funds, $11 million in settlement funds still available. And then we estimate an annual operation maintenance and monitoring for the next 50 years of about $1.5 million a year. So, and then for the last item is authorization for an RFP for the preliminary design investigation work plan. We need to evaluate property access. We need site-specific soil borings and sampling, well installation and testing. We'll update our conceptual site model, and we'll also update our groundwater flow model and our extraction estimates. So our recommended board action that are summarized in the resolution is the certification of the EIR, approving the IRAP, authorizing the GM to sign the record of decision, establishing an initial capital budget of $19.4 million, and then authorizing issuance of an RFP for a PDI investigation work plan. And with that, folks, I will take any questions you have.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
That's a mouthful.
It is. Fine.
Question.
Yeah, can I ask, on the, it's going to end up costing $19.4 million. We have 11.
I wouldn't hang your hat on the 19.4. It's an initial capital budget. We really won't know what the actual cost will be until the final design is prepared. We will. This is a level four estimate, just for comparing the alternatives identified in the feasibility study.
Okay, but we're still in the hole for at least $8.4 million, correct?
Assuming the capital costs exceed 19.4, yes.
Okay, well, if we have 11 million and it could be four.
Or I guess my point is
it could be more. Yeah. No, I get that. And then we have the maintenance.
And then we'll have an annual maintenance. Again, it's an estimate of 1.5 million per year.
And could that go up too?
It could.
Okay, thank you.
Yep. Okay. Director Yeo.
Yeah, thank you, Chair Tran. And Bill, thank you for the presentation. Same thing on the budget. My question is the 19.4, this is broken down into two sections, years 2 to 3, remediation system construction. Is that for the addressing the entire area, like?
It is.
Outline?
It is.
Okay, so it's not like broken down into... Okay, it is.
It's an estimate based on the total number of wells that we identified in the feasibility study, the length of pipelines and such. Those are in 2024 dollars as well.
Okay, but that's the conceptual cost for an alternative, a type of remediation that we could implement. Well, I was thinking that this would cost a lot more. Well, potentially still, right? Yeah, we've been at this for a couple of decades, and but still we need
capital, right. This is just capital cost.
Yeah, we need to hold the responsible parties accountable. I get that. Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Go ahead.
I also forgot about asking about Department of Toxics. They're not signing off of anything. Is that still the case?
Well, that you guys had a good meeting with them.
So we
go ahead.
We have been meeting with them. It's primarily with their, so initially meeting at the staff level with DTSC had been pretty unproductive for us. But now that Justin is meeting with the bankruptcy attorneys and this group that he identified as the environmental creditors, which are the EPA, regional board, DTSC, that set of attorneys are seeking a fixed set of money in the bankruptcy proceedings. And through those discussions, it appears that they're willing to separate remedy roles, which would mean they would focusing on on-site remedies and having us focus on off-site remedies, which then draw a bright line between who's responsible for what, whether it be DTSC or CWD. So
does that mean we're going to get a conclusion?
That means that we're not fighting over the same thing anymore.
So they're going to take the on-site. We're going to take the off-site.
And then they would have no role in overseeing off-site remedies.
Oh, okay. Who oversees that?
That would be us.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Please, go ahead.
Seeing that IRWD-5 and IRW-3 and Santa Ana 26 are in that, do we look to them to help us on any of this, or is that all OCWD's responsibility?
All our producers with OCWD, so they are helping.
Okay. So, as far as the dollar, is that just come from us and then
comes from them
it's,
too.
It's traditionally we've picked up the tab. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Gotcha. Thanks.
Yes. Go ahead.
Yeah, Director Tran, it'd just be good maybe to ask if there's any. I don't think we have any public comment slips, but just maybe just to ask anyone online. Looks like there is a hand raised by Director Sheldon, but see if there is any public who wants to
participate. Okay, fair enough. Actually, are there any public members who would like to comment or say any questions regarding this? Seeing none, I'll call on Director Sheldon.
Thank you, Mr. President, Mr. Acting President. I think you should be the full-time president, probably. My questions for John Kennedy are, John, are you aware of any direct public health impacts that have occurred from this contamination as of yet?
No. I mean, we did have a hit with one IRWD well, but the contamination has primarily stayed in the shallow aquifer so far. And that's the whole goal is to get it before it migrates down into the principal aquifer. Yeah.
So it hasn't been it isn't currently a public health threat.
Yes, correct.
Okay. What's the total cost with the maintenance and everything in, even at the higher budget? And does that include adjusting for future value versus the present value for that long-term maintenance? Is there a future value adjustment included?
We did make estimates in the feasibility study for the total cost based upon an expected remedy window of 30 years. However, through the bankruptcy negotiations, they're now looking at extending that out to 50 years to be comparable with other remedies that environmental creditors are putting forward. We don't know the total duration of the remedy, and it will certainly be well beyond probably most of our 10 years here at OCWD. So that's why we make an annual OMM cost estimate. I could give you a number, but I don't know that it'd be very accurate, Director Sheldon, because I don't know the duration of the remedy.
And you don't have it adjusted for future value?
That's $1.5 million a year.
Yeah.
Per year.
$1.5 million today isn't worth $1.5 million next year or 10 years at a 5% or 2% inflation or 5%. You'd be surprised how much it drops down.
Yeah, we could do that calculation. We could assume 30 years of operation and do a present value calculation and get that to you.
Yeah. You know, Lucy Dunn with the Orange County Business Council had, you know, always told us that she thought and she had gotten information that this can attenuate, this can over time clean. And I'm not sure how much over clean, but I just question if now's the time to start this big expenditure with all this maintenance. We have unknown questions about the actual cost and the long term burden and these things. I'm not prepared to go forward today. I have more questions and more concerns. So I would want more information. I know there's in the report, but I've not been privy to all the DTSC and exactly the details of what that is. And I'll just take a step back that we, when we approved another project, it really wasn't known to the directors that there was a $90 million cost to the mitigation of this particular project related to it. And I'm just concerned there's a lot more cost than we really know. We're really, you know, yet we pass these on to the taxpayers. So I'm just concerned about starting off right now. And I don't know of a public health rush to start off right now. I mean, if we want to get it done, you got to start sometime. You got to eat an elephant one bite at a time. But it seems to me there's more unknown that we should ascertain to really have grasp of the costs.
Anything else?
Yeah. So there's a lot, I'll leave it like that. I don't want to, you know, go on. I have other facts and data to present, but thank you, Mr. President. That's it for now.
If I might, kind of the next phase that we are suggesting is the preliminary design investigation phase, which would lead to the remedy design, which would lead to a much better cost estimate as to what the ultimate remedy would be. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Director Green?
But the problem is the flow is is starting to go down towards the principal aquifer. That's what we're trying to prevent, well, so it doesn't get in our drinking water.
Director Green, I don't think that's scientifically correct. I mean, it's a very slow. I've been hearing for 15 years it's going to hit that, and we really haven't. We haven't seen. I'm hearing that since I've, you know, 15 years, literally.
Just to add, so this is a key milestone to approve the EIR, and a lot of work has occurred to get to this point.
Are we approving an EIR, or are we allocating funds to go these future steps?
We're just approving the EIR. There will be more board actions in the future.
Okay, thank you. We're certifying the EIR. Then I'll. I absolutely want to support the certification of the EIR.
Yeah, that's all we're doing.
My mistake. I apologize.
You have a question? Yeah, yes, please.
Yeah. Thank you, Chair Tran. Bill, I was just cross-checking the PFAS GIS map, and it looks really interesting that we got this concentration of wells that had PFAS detection in Santa Ana, and then northeast to this site, to these site, these wells is the orange ones. Why is this area not getting any detection? Are we doing something there currently that's...
Well, no, that is in the principal aquifer.
Okay.
And
this is shallow.
Yeah. Okay. I think that's the primary difference. Yeah.
Okay. Because I was going to ask that whether anything that we propose to do to remediate would have dual benefit of cleaning up PFAS as well. Okay.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions, comments? I have a couple, if I may.
Sure.
The certification today, I think there are five items we need. Can we vote for general counsel? Can we take one item, at a time, or all five with one vote?
You have to amend the resolution because the resolution includes all
all five.
Yeah, so they're bundled together, but that doesn't mean you couldn't
parse them break out. Them apart. No, that's fine. The issue with the EIR is basically the certification, but the next step is the RFP, correct, based on what you just presented?
Well, we have three documents that will need some action by the board. That's the certification of the EIR, it's the approval of the IRAP, and then it's the authorization for the GM to sign the ROD.
Right, it's all here, but I'm talking about the next going forward.
Then we would need it to establish a budget so that we can issue an RFP to prepare a work plan for the preliminary design investigation.
I think you've heard some concerns about the budget. So if it's possible going forward, if we could get more details or clarifications on the projects that we're going to be doing.
You absolutely will.
It's an initial budget, though. I mean, it's an initial capital budget, which implies it could be.
Yeah, we you probably don't even need establish a capital budget of 19.4 million tonight, but we just wanted to give that information to the board. We'll have a much better estimate once we get some design drawings and do some engineering.
Right. I think some members have sticker shock doing so much based on the items that we have already. So, but I get it. If that's going forward, if we're going to be talking about the budget.
Yeah, it's just establishing the budget. It's not saying that we have free reign to spend.
No, I get it.
Could go down.
I get it.
This is less than I thought it would be.
I'll make a motion to approve this, and then on four, we'll just scratch out the number. Oh, is there a hand up?
There's a second.
Oh, okay. I was just going to say modify that to just a number four, scratch out 19.4, and say we're establishing a budget. And then make it more generic. And then we need to do five anyway because we have to go out for RFP. So
I'll defer.
Move forward without establishing budget.
Crazy. All right, we're here with the number.
We have to do a budget
at some point anyway.
Yeah,
we're strike the establishing the initial. In order to establish a budget, you got to have a number.
Yeah, we're good with the number, the maker and the second.
Well, so that would be what's the current motion?
So you've been.
No, I'll withdraw whatever.
Okay.
The recommended motion.
Okay. So currently on the table, we have a motion to approve all five items on the recommendation for this item. listed, and a second. So no more.
Director?
Director Jung was the was the second, and Director Director Green.
No, I think you. I think you did.
Yeah, you did. I withdrew everything.
Okay.
Right. Okay. Director Green was the original maker.
Okay. So Director Green is the moving director, and then Director Chung.
Just a second. Director. That's right.
Okay.
Good. Okay. So we have a motion and a second to adopt the recommendation. The okay. Please call for it.
Roll call. Director Amezcua.
Yes. Yes.
Director Green.
Yes.
Director Chung.
Aye.
Director Nguyen.
Yes.
Dr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Director Tran?
Yes.
Director Wigan?
Yes.
Director Yeo?
Yes.
Okay, that motion carries with 8 yes. Directors Bilodeau and Meeks absent.
All right, maybe he's delivered. Okay, informational item on the agenda. Number 6, SAWPA update. I think we miss our SAWPA delegate. We have an alternate report.
I was the alternate.
Okay.
All right. Director Joe.
I don't really have a...
You could just say it's
in the... it's in the report, everyone. Sorry.
All right. Thank you so much.
Should have written that down in my head.
Moving on to committee and conference meeting reports. Retirement Committee.
Yes, we met. It's in the back of the last page of the agenda, and it was our only item on consent today, or it was the item on consent.
Okay. Are there any reports on committee or conferences, meetings, attended district expense? Seeing none, moving on to other verbal reports. President's report. I have none. General manager's report.
Two quick things to mention. I wanted to let the board be aware that State Water Resources Control Board member Sean McGuire is coming down next Tuesday. And I'm very important person up there at the state board, and we're going to talk about PFAS with them. And he wanted to hear the district's opinion on a few things. So it's just nice that he wanted to talk to us and see what we thought. So that'll happen next Tuesday. Then last Wednesday, I'm told we had a super productive meeting behind Prado Dam with the city of San Clemente, who is looking for sand. And they're very interested in trying to figure out a way to make it work. So that was very good news. I also want to mention Orange County Transportation Authority is also working closely with us. They also need sand. So we'll see if either one of those agencies or both perhaps can grab some sand from behind Prado Dam. And Director Wigan was at the San Clemente meeting, if you want to add anything. And then Lisa Haney was representing the water district out there. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I think it was a productive meeting. If you look here, you can see in the blue at the bottom, that's we toured that site. So there's a road, a dirt road that connects to our field operations. And so we had like three, I think. So we had the mayor of San Clemente, city manager, assistant city manager. They have a sand czar, an actual person that is dedicated to sand, but works closely with Army Corps of Engineers. So that's actually a good thing because we work closely with them as well. So just kind of compare notes is pretty helpful. So they had a delegation come and Executive Director Haney, I don't know if you want to add any comments as well, but that map showed kind of the bottom spot of where the sand is. And the goal is to truck it up to a couple sites there. The orange at the top and the green are owned by county flood control. And so we have to try to get county flood control to allow us to move some of the sand that's in that blue area. But we have to move it out no matter what. Army Corps is requiring us to move it. So if we're moving it, why not find a home for it? So I don't know, Lisa, if you want to add some comments to that.
I do, and we were so grateful to have you join us for that meeting. It was extremely productive, and I think Director Wigan has helped develop some political support for our movement, which we're grateful for. So what we're trying to do is we're trying to bring sand to the coastal community as best as we can. OCTA does not want to dig it out themselves, so they are reliant on us digging it out first and on our timeline. But we are making it very clear to everyone that if they want to come and get it, and not be beholden to our timeline, they can come and get it, right? So it's available to anyone who wants to do their project permits and come and get it. But if they want to wait for us to dig it out, then we're going to go through our process, which we're doing, and we're hoping to have it out by next year. Now, the issue is whether or not OCTA or San Clemente can bring up the capital funding to do the trucking from our site to their site. And then our sticking point, which Director Wigand is helping us with politically, is to get the land leases for all three of the properties, the pink, green, and brown. So the pink is a sublease from Army Corps to Riverside Parks, and we're trying to do a sublease with Riverside Parks for that parcel. And then we are hoping for some political support to have a speedy permit process to ask Riverside Flood Control or Orange County Flood Control for the other two parcels. If we cannot get those land leases locked down in time by the time we remove, unfortunately, we will have to waste the product into our wetlands because we are under a compliance obligation to take it out. So if we cannot find a partner in time, then that it will be our alternative. But we are trying to get it to the coastal communities.
Director Sheldon and Emetqua have their hands raised.
Sure. Director Sheldon.
I can allow the mayor to go first, please.
Okay. Director, Mayor Emetqua. Valerie, are you still there?
I'm still here. Thank you. And I just want to say thank you for the update. And, you know, you guys working on this project is very important. And thank you for sharing about OCTA. So I'm very interested in that. So, Mr. General Manager, if we can have a conversation about that further, I don't know if Director Jung would like to join us. I know he sits on OCTA with me. But I am very interested in OCTA's response. And as you know, we're having discussions on the board regarding sand and moving of sand and how we can help San Clemente, the beach area, pretty much, I mean, save that area. So I do appreciate all the work you guys are doing, and I'd like to have further conversation. So thank you.
And Madam Mayor, happy to bring sand to the beach. Thank you.
Always good to bring sand to the beach.
Yes, it is. Let's do it.
I took that line.
Sheldon, that's a good, line. That's a good line.
Okay. And if I could just add, Director Emetqua, I think OCTA doesn't think we have the sand because it's not clean. You know, they know we have the sand, but they want it cleaned, and that could be potentially the problem.
I think they want it sorted.
Yeah, sorted.
It is clean.
But
sorted.
Yeah, but there's when you go out and tour the site, you know, I was expecting just to see, you know, all the sand here, but it, you know, there's other plants growing in there, and you know, it's a flood area, so water touches that sand and things grow in it. So, and there's unfortunately some trash that's not ours, but there's some illegal camping that gets, or not camping, but dumping that occurs. We saw a couple tires and, you know, some random things out there, but, you know, nothing that can't be sorted. You know, that will be something from this site that we're obligated to do to move to the other site that the county, or not obligated, but we will help move it up to the public, or if we can get that flood control site, that would be the spot.
We're willing to transport it.
Yes, that's what I'm
a stockpile of
certain language.
But we're not gonna sort it.
Right, exactly. No, they're gonna be responsible for the sorting of it. We will transport it to there, and that's where I think some of the hang up is.
Yeah, and thank you for that information, because I think that's important too, that you know, we don't want to sort, we don't have the ability to sort it, or we don't want to either way. But OCTA also needs to, in my opinion, play an important role. So we'll talk further about that. But thank you for sharing all that.
Yeah, that would be great.
And it is a little bit of a race between the two entities of who wants it. We have 100,000 cubic yards, and both entities want 500 cubic yards, which is, so it'd be hard to split it, right? Like, we don't have enough for both entities. We only have 100 out of the 5 that they each want.
Wait a minute. I misunderstood you. Say that. How much do we have?
Let's wait around it.
100.
So they want 500.
thousand.
Mr. Chair, 500,000. Sorry, 500,000. Okay, 500,000. I'm thinking
how much we have. We have
100,000. Sorry.
I was going to say we can include this on a future agenda.
That's where I'm going. I think it's substantial enough for a hearing.
Roger.
For an update, yes.
Lisa, I have a quick question. I'm just interested in finding out what OCTA is needing that for. Is it for the rail, right? Yeah, 100 feet from the ocean, the home.
Same okay. City.
Same city. And then they're competing. Okay, yeah, I imagine they could probably find some grants under IJA, right? The Protect Program. Yeah, they're racing to try to get this material and the money to line things up to fix the train track issue. Okay, that's what I thought. Thank you
so much. Any other comments?
Director Sheldon has his hand raised.
Director Sheldon.
Thank you, Mr. President. This may have been brought up in the past, so I apologize. Has there been a review of a rail transportation for the sand?
Yes, there has. And it's not easy. We can make sure we can include those efforts in the future presentation.
Wondering. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Why don't we put this item on the agenda at an appropriate time when there are some movements or developments?
Okay.
For future hearings. Okay. Moving on to some of the last items here. Director's reports. Are there any reports from my colleagues?
I'll just make a brief report. The week before, we did the dedication of the PFAS treatment center in Tustin, and Director Bilodeau, or President Bilodeau, did a good job of representing us, and City of Tustin was excited, and we had the state come down, provide a big giant check during the presentation, so it was nice, and staff did a good job of having a really nice event. So we're, I think, a good day to celebrate.
Very good. Thank you so much. Anybody else? Next up, General Counsel's report.
So I know you're all going to be very disappointed. We're not actually going to have a closed session tonight. So It's all public record. So I'll tell you what happened. Just so that way you don't have to read it in the papers. This is really minor. There was a subcontractor dispute for one of our PFAS well sites. OCWD kind of got dragged into it. And today we got notification that the case has been dismissed with prejudice. So there's no longer a case to talk about in closed session.
Okay.
That is all.
Very good. Thank you so much. And with that, we are done. I'm adjourning the meeting today.